So this year,
here is sponsored anonymously. Yilui Nishmas David Avram, Olav Shalom, past, present, of Yaguda, on behalf of the entire Yaguda family.
Thank you. Thank you to the sponsors. As I was saying,
thanks, fellas.
We were saying that you said over here, when it comes to understanding, looking at things in a Torah way. So you have the People magazine. Everybody knows it's bad. It's not a question it's bad. Everybody knows it's not a good thing. Did I say it's Gimel Averes Chamuras? I didn't say that. But everybody understands that it's a book of priests. But it's more than a book of priests. It's a book of failed relationships. Maybe the only good thing about a People magazine is that it shows you that all the money in the world don't make two people happy. And all the best looks in the world don't make two people happy. So we see a good thing we can learn, but we know it's a trace. Reader's Digest, that is, you think it's good. This is what my Rebbe told me. I want to bring it to today's newspapers. Today's newspapers are very, very, very deceptive. But if one is busy living in a negative state of mind, reading all about the extreme cases of life and projecting that on themselves, I mean, those are the things that make the news, then very subtly you're injecting a poison inside of yourself. So why did I say maybe Fox News is better than Mishpacha? Because Fox News, you know what you're seeing. You know when you're going to open up Fox News, it's going to be sensationalized. You know that it's written by people who are there to be able to get you and catch you. So you're going in with an innate understanding of what the enemy is. And you're going to see some opinions. You know, it's amazing if anybody ever sees, and they shouldn't, how they have glass tables so you can be able to look at the woman's legs. It's an unbelievable thing. Glass tables so you can be able to see. Think about that. But when you have the Mishpacha and the Bina and the Ami, these newspapers have things in them that are, and I've heard it from people. I've heard it. And I've heard of people that you read a story like, oh, so that means I'm this and I'm that, and you get ideas in your head, because those are the only things that sell. So they don't sell happy news. The natural state of mind is to go into the negative, depressed state of things. So therefore, I don't know if, obviously it's better to read it than by Fox News, but there's a certain element that I'm not very pro it. It's hysterical Judaism. It creates a sense of hysteria, and all under the guise of shearing Hashgavas Satira.
Yeah, but if you have a choice between reading that or reading the New York Times.
Again, I'm saying, of course, impractical state, but know what you do, know what's happening, because it's very hard to see. It's very, very, very hard to detect. But I'm telling you, it's there. And it goes in. If somebody could come home and read the news, I'll give you an example of something that happened. People go to Auschwitz. I think I told some of the Olam this. I went to the Torah Masorah Convention, and they have a person over there that brings into schools virtual reality of Auschwitz. There's a woman during COVID who asked whoever's in charge of Auschwitz if she could take a drone and do an entire virtual reality experience. I did it, and anybody knows anything about good virtual reality, you are literally in it. And I was sitting next to another Rebbe. I had no clue who he was. And he looks at me afterwards and he says, why did I do this for? I'm in such a terrible mood afterwards. It's like I'm in such a terrible mood. I have to go to 6 different speeches and I have to be able to have a clear head. So we don't think, in our mind, we're like, okay, what's the big deal? But things do affect us. It does affect. So if you're going to read a story and it's going to make you anxious, if you're going to read a story it's going to make you not smile at your wife, think for a second if it's Kedai or if it's not Kedai.
But you get the magazine, then your wife will smile at you because she's going to read it.
Yeah, she's the one that's going to read it. It maybe look like I'm harping over nothing, but it took me time to realize that there is something worth noting and worth thinking about.
Right. Most news is negative news.
Most news is negative news, and keep yourself out of a negative state of mind. It is the healthiest for you in your marriage or your relationships with people, with your kids. Of course, we can't be blind. I am never am I saying that a person should be blind. That never, you have to be blind to say that you should be blind. I'm not saying to disregard the fact that we have enemies of the world. I mean, if I may say this on record, that Kahana was right. He knew what he was saying when he was saying that these people will never, ever, you have to, Lamaisa at the end of the day, his mahalach, I'm not sure if it worked. Well, actually, it didn't work. He got him killed. What? But to understand, so you have a question. If you want to ask a question, ask it as a question. Lenny, I'm pushing back on you because you made a comment. And your comment basically was taking a certain thing without, as I may say it, hearing something. There's a shot in something. Nobody, you have to be crazy, as I said, you have to be crazy to think that I'm not mocked on security in the shul. You have to be crazy to think that people in Lakewood, the Rabbanim in Lakewood, don't care about the hostages. Rabbi Yechaim Swordlof got up and he said, everybody, do you understand that you have hundreds of thousands of people who are just simply displaced? They don't have a house anymore. They don't have a house. They can't be in their house. Nobody likes not being in their house. Everybody likes being home. Everything goes from this place, that place. It's kind of tiring. But did anybody ever think about that and care about that? Like, you're just going to disregard that? And he asked, did anybody think about the fact that there are people who are wounded? They lost their legs. And it's a lifetime difference. And of mental, like, you just, we think about the hostages, but there's hundreds of thousands of people that are traumatized. So everybody is concerned. That's not the point. If you want to hear the point, I could say the point, but the truth is, I've come to learn that if you ever want to say something to somebody, it can't be walls up. You have to be ready to hear. So if the oil is ready to hear on another side, I have no problem explaining. If you mask and review it, you're on another side. When somebody asked me about the hashkafa of the rabbi, I said, I feel very bad because I always ask, and my Rosh Yeshiva passed on. Shleshim is going to be on Sunday. So I have a hole inside my heart because I know most of the things you would say, but this is a complicated one. So obviously, what's the reason why to have a rabbi? So we have to understand something. What's it going to do? So I felt that there's two things perhaps it could do. Number one, it could change public opinion not to hate Yidden so much because people are going to see. Wait, one second. Hold on.
Unity.
Hold on. I'm going to finish. You're going to jump on if you're. Jump on. You're going to jump on. You have, yeah. Listen, you don't have to hear my opinion. I never oppose my opinion on this on anybody. The only time I do it when I'm asked or if I feel it's so stark. In this type of thing, I feel it's so wonderful, and there's always two sides at what's the point of talking about it. But you're asking, you're saying a comment. So if you want to change public opinion, but to change public opinion, the guy hate us. Now, we know there's always tyrants feel a muhammad. Muhammad means you fight. Now, you have to sometimes show some force. There's certain things that are not tolerated, and sometimes people don't get the message until they say, hey, hold on, there's a huge group of people over here. You have to watch how you talk. You can't just decide and follow a wave of people. You could also make a stance for the politicians to say, help support Israel, that helps give money. There's also the idea of unity, Jewish unity. The fact that there's hundreds of thousands of Yidden together for a cause, that's a very powerful thing. But the thing is like this. If you want it to be something that shows unity, my suggestion, if I would have been asked, was to incorporate, if I wanted to be as open-minded as possible, all facets of the Jewish community. But you have to understand who it was. The OU had no representative. There was no Rabbanim on it. Not one rabbi. Not even, let's say, Rabbi Elson, who I've come to know.
There's a reason why. No Kalisha. No music by female singers.
So it's still...
Give and take.
So you, to have... The only people that are coming up are actresses are speaking and people who are speaking and nobody on the right speaking. So the people who are part of the right if they don't feel like they're adequately represented, so what are they saying? They're saying, well, this is not representing us, and you're not being machshava. That's one piece to understand. You're saying what they're deciding what Yiddishkeit is. Well, hold on, you have to maybe represent.
This wasn't a religious gathering.
No.
So it wasn't a so 1 second. So if it's not a religious gathering,
Jewish Achdus.
But Jewish Achdus, but what are the Jewish Achdus without religion mean? So I'm asking you a question. What is Jewish Achdus without religion?
Well, just a
but think about what that means. What are the Jewish Achdus?
Pro Israel.
You got to take Tehillim. Everyone, the whole crowd come together.
Of course they understand
it. Singer got up and said to him, he got everyone.
He was amazing. So now the reason and you should know, Yishai Ribo is a firm guy. And he's saying, and for me that's considered a speech. But at the end of the day, when you don't have a representation, what?
They didn't want representation.
Of course they could have Kugel. They must.
They didn't want representation because they didn't want to show the Orthodox and then conservative and Reform. They didn't want to do that. There was no official. It wasn't like a hashkafic thing.
Yeah, but for some reason, listen how you're saying. Listen to that. Listen to that for a second. Listen to what that means. Listen to that. That means that it's how I have to bend to your ideals because it's your idea of what unity is. Now, if it would be up to me, perhaps I would say that what should be done is that Rosh Hashivas, the same way they did by World War II, the Gedolei Rosh Hashivas went into Lakewood. They went to Washington and they protested. They went. If there would be something to do, I would say that would be something to do. Meaning that they should do something. If they felt it would do something to be able to change the situation. I can't say, my yeshiva wouldn't say it's straight. He wouldn't say that the Bnei Yeshivas should go. He would say the Bnei Yeshivas should sit and learn. So the Bnei Yeshivas are the ones that are they're holding up the world, and you have to believe that. And if you don't believe that, it's okay. But I believe that the Bnei Yeshivas are the ones that are on the front lines. They're helping the soldiers in the front line. And anybody who ever watches any of the videos, they've come to see that. Do I say that you don't need cooks on the front lines as well? Of course you need cooks on the front lines. Need people to cook. The cooks need, so you have people doing very important things by going to such a rally. Personally, I would have think that proper representation of having one rabbi, my opinion, that would have been the proper thing to do. And you're going to say, well, it's not that type of rally.
I heard after the fact that there were areas that were some people congregated, and they all said the Hillel together, and the non-religious around were watching.
Now, beautiful. I'm not.
I think they didn't want to make it a religious event, and if they would have had an Orthodox rabbi, they would have had a reform rabbi.
Exactly.
He would have gotten complicated.
We'll have a woman rabbi get up.
Having a thing with his Hillel, it would have been nicer to have. I think they should have had an Orthodox non. Rabbi,
somebody who's the president, and you don't have that. That's
the reason not.
You also something else. Also, I want you to know something else, and this is something that I'm speaking from knowing just a little bit of Torah, and I'm saying just a little bit. The Meyasses Gedolei HaTorah, I got to meet some of them over the Torah Mesorah Convention. They're very smart people, the ones that are on, and. They weren't strongly pro it. So my point is, before you lash out on a group of Talmid of HaKhamim, it's worthwhile to hear their reasons why. Because they're not, excuse my language, what? I think they did, I think. Lenny, the point is, no, not they don't have to give you a reason. The point is that they're not, you may have an opinion on them that they're radical people who don't understand different sides of the aisle. And I'm telling you, that's where you're coming from, and I'm disagreeing with you. I think that's an unfair assessment to say on Gedolei Yisrael. That's what I think. I don't think that's a fair assessment to make on Gedolei Yisrael. Now,
by the way, I want to show you something.
One second, Rabbi. I don't know how he got to this.
In the middle of the rally, there was an outcry that the Rabbanim said, do not go to the rally. And then, right afterwards, this breaking news came out. I don't know what happened, but he ended up not getting up to speak. But there was a Rav that was supposed to speak at the rally.
Beautiful. Show me the Rav is not a Rav. He's just a multi.
Okay.
With a joke. Certain things are very, very nuanced. And if you want to be an open-minded person, to try to always hear two sides. Try to always hear two sides. At the end of the day, there's two sides. The Satmar Rav knew what he was talking about Zionism. That doesn't mean that the Torah Kata people are normal. They're Meshugayim. But you have to be able to hear something. Things are very, very nuanced.
How does it look if Jews, no Jews protest at all? And all you have are pro-Palestinian rallies in America. The Jews don't come together to do something to show them.
Did I say you shouldn't go?
That's why it's important.
How does it look? I don't know how it looks.
They don't care.
People are dominating nonstop. What do you mean they're not doing?
But if they don't show it publicly at all, there's no right.
Yeah. So I'm saying I understand that. Baruch Hashem, there was a very large turnout. I don't think that was enough of a thing to take away from the Bnei Yeshiva from learning.
No.
I don't think that warranted. Cool. But if I would have felt it would be. Meaning it was something that we needed the money, otherwise we wouldn't. Otherwise, it would make even 1 year. And says, listen, let me tell you something. I'll tell you one radical thing. I don't think it's worth any soldier dying for the Kaiser. If we would be able to give the Kaiser, I'm not saying we should, if we would be able to give back the Kaiser, and we would never be able to visit the Kaiser again, for a not religious soldier, not that it's going to make back terrorists, we're talking about that they would be able to have peace. They would have peace for 20 years. If it would be me making the decision in a second. For a not religious soldier, it's not worth one Jewish life, all the millions of tefillos by the Kaisel. That's my opinion. That's how much I value Jewish lives. I value the Jewish lives more than the Mekayim HaSekhet HaYishan. Think about that for a moment. And try to appreciate that. Jewish lives, at the end of the day, that's the main thing.
That's the destruction. It's not even the front of base of Mekmach, so. Right.
Jewish lives, that's what we have to think in our heads. And we have to be very careful about Jewish lives. Be careful, Jewish lives. Be careful where they're sending our soldiers to. What's necessary, what's not necessary. Obviously, we realize that these type of people are people that if you don't eradicate them, I don't know if you could ever eradicate them, honestly. But at least we have to give them enough of a clock that they can't continue. And remember, when you go ahead and kill a large, you always have a vacuum. So you have to always. But think about this piece that I'm saying. What is it worth it? Even one Jewish life? I don't care what he is.
It's painful to lose. We would have lost 50 soldiers.
Right. I'm saying. Now let's go by Ter, because over here we have to say Ter. We said a little Ashkafa. Important to talk about it. But one thing to take away.
I actually heard Rabbi Yosef Zelfold say the same thing.
Bottom line
is, you can meet about both sides of the mishpacha.
Right, but you can meet about both sides of the mishpacha. The mishpacha, they don't have a right. They don't have a right to be able to present sides. That's my point. They don't have a right to present. They don't have a right. You have to have real chashuva people presenting certain sides. Now, last week, it was a kishma. Now, let's talk a little tighter. Last week, we spoke about the idea of giving gifts. We had four different Gemaras, and we had the machlokes of how to understand Sainotan Sikhya. Then we got into the thing about Talmid Chacham getting gifts. It got me thinking, what about the fact that you have Rabbeim, which make money? Or what about you have rabbis like from Torah Mesorah that will come to your school and they'll charge you $2,000 to give a presentation on teaching Torah? Are you allowed to take money for teaching? What's the sugya? You'll see how the Rambam looks at it. So what's better? For a guy taking money for teaching Torah? Or he shouldn't take money for teaching Torah. And what should he do? He should go work. I don't know. So let's see. This is the sugya. And it will definitely come into the question of what about taking presents? It gets included in that. So the first source number one, is a Medrash in the beginning of Bamidbar. Yedaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai. The Medrash brings down Lama b'midbar Sinai, mekan shanu chacham b'shloish devar m'natayra b'eshimayim midbar. The Medrash brings down that the Torah was given with fire, with water, and with midbar. And it brings psukim. Now, why in the world was it given with these three things? So, four lines into this Medrash, it says, Lama nitna b'shloish devar malalu elama elu chinam l'chol b'yoylam. Fire, free. Water, free. I mean, clean water, not so simple in Africa, but the ocean's free. Desert's free. So too, Taktivei Torah Chinam Heim. Torah is free. It's free. It's free. Torah is free. What does that mean, Torah is free? What does that mean? That means anybody could take it. Okay, wait. Anybody could take it? Could I go to any yeshiva and not have to pay tuition? What does that mean? Is this halakhically? So, source number two. Source number two is the Chayrus of Kosesim et Aleph. The Mishnah brings down that anybody who takes money to judge, his judgments are batal, which means no Bezdin is allowed to take any money. By the way, that's a big problem. Bezdins take a lot of money today. There are certain very wealthy individuals which support Batei Dinim, that they don't have to take any money for their back then. But Batei Dinim taking a few hundred dollars an hour or a little more than a few hundred dollars an hour is very standard. How else are they supposed to support themselves? And they're sitting and they're listening to the litigants for hours and hours. Well, the Mishnah says somebody takes it, it's batal. And the Gemara goes, and the Gemara says, Menani Mili. How do we know this? Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, the Amakor, the Pasuk says, Rei lemati eschem, ma'ani b'chinam, af ata b'chinam. Hashem says, the same way I taught you for free. Did I teach you for free? Yeah. So you know what? If I teach you for free, you have to teach everybody else for free. So the first Medrash brings down that Torah is b'chinam, and that's why it's in all these three places why Klal Yisrael was, that's how Torah was given. It was given with fire in the desert, and with water, meaning to say that during Matan Torah it was cloudy and it rained in some way. That's because Torah is for free, like these three elements are free, fire, water, and desert. And the Gemara brings down in Menachos that the reason why you can't take money to judge is because God taught us for free. God taught us for free. We have to do anything prior that we have to do for free. Now Rashi says, maybe that's only on judgments. Who says that's on teaching Torah? Rashi brings down, Menani Mili, Rashi says, the Ein Neitan Schal Al Hira, the Talmud Torah. Two things. Not just Paskani Yehalacha, it has to be for free. So too, when it comes to teaching Torah, the Halacha is, it must be for free. Pasuk. Wow. Source number three, a Mishnah Novus, Pergdal of Mishnah Hay. Rav Tzadok, Omer Rav Tzadok says, Al Tase Matar L'Eskadol Behem, L'Ekadam Lachbar Behem, don't make Torah a crown to grow in them, or a shovel to shovel in them. V'chacho Yechil Omer U'deshtamish Pesagol Cholot, somebody who uses the Torah, the crown of Torah, is going to get punished, he's going to leave this world. You have enough from Torah, the worst thing in the world. Don't make Torah, don't use Torah as the catalyst for your pleasure. Now, what is included in that? If you're going to make Torah for your... So somebody wants to learn Torah to become a Rav, so is he doing that? Well, if somebody's trying to use Torah because he wants to make money off it, you're not going to do that? Comes along the Bartanura, who explains this Mishnah, like Kardam Lach Brabham, which means you can't make it a shovel to dig with it. Meaning, says the Rav, Rav Avadim Bartanura, he says that Vlaituma Torah Kadei Lasis Mimenem Lachash and Sparnaspa. You can't teach Torah in order to for your job. Teaching Torah is not your job. You're desecrating the holiness of Torah. You're using Torah for your job. You're using Torah for your job. Can't do that. The Chayiv Misa B'nai Shemayim.
Can be a Melamed.
So he says, Melamed tonight does. So what do Melamed tonight does do? Neitlan Scharshim Ratzinat Bilvat. You're considered a babysitter. That's the money you're getting, but to teach. And he said very clearly, Shemer Shamrin Oysan Shla Yushu Vaiziku. You have to watch them that they shouldn't hurt or get hurt. Uschar Pisak Taimim, Shaina Rav Chayv Latreif, Wamit Latamidim Pisak Taimim, teaching them how to lane, something that he's not Machuyev to really teach, that you could charge. But Stamazai, teach him Taira? Absolutely not. Officer to do.
That's what he just said.
But maybe that you're not Machuyev to do. Avuschar Limud Osho Lito. And how do we know? The Rav answers, we are the source of this Mishnah. He brings the source of the Gemara that we had in Bechirat. Dechsiv, Ve'oiti Tziva Hashem, Ve'ita Hilin Lamed Etzchem, just like I am free, just like Hashem taught for free, so too you have to teach for free. So we see over here, halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah of it says, is completely usher. We teach for free. Torah is not used to do anything but to make yourself, to pick yourself up with financially, and you can't use Torah. The Torah is not like your thing to use. It's a free thing for anybody to use. Medrash, Gemara Bechiras, that's passages like that, that, and a person who uses it for testimony, the dayan, it's bottle, his testimony, it's not negea. And then we have the Mishnah Novice. So we're making a very strong case against anybody taking any money to teach Torah. You can't do it. Let's take a look at the source number four. Source number four, I just brought the Gemara in the Darim, Rav Amar Schar Shimur, maybe Yechon Amar Schar Pizat Taimim. Over there, the Gemara speaks about that Melamdi could take, but they're only taking money either for watching or for the Schar Pizat, for money from Pizat Taimim. Exactly, but not for actually teaching the Torah. Source number five. Gemara in Darim Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Vamar Rabba Bar Bachonam Rabbi Yechonon. Kol Hamishtamish BeKitzra Shel Torah. Anybody uses the crown of Torah, Nekar Ben Olam is uprooted from the world, and he brings the Kal Vachomer from Belshazzar. Belshazzar, he used Kli Kodesh, which were made Kli Choil. He was Nekar Ben Olam. This, you use the Kitzra Shel Torah, forget about it. You're uprooted from the world. Another Gemara which says the worst thing in the world. And comes along the Gemara of Basra. The Gemara of Basra says that there was a big hunger. The Rebbe, who had a lot of money, he opened up his storehouses by this hunger. Rebbe Pasach Oitzoris B'Shnei Batzoris. In the years of hunger, he opened up his storehouses. Well, who did Rebbe let come in? Think anybody let come in and eat? No. Omar, he said, Yikonsu Bali Mikra, the people who were Chumash teachers, Bali Mishnah, who learned Mishnah, Bali Talmud, Bali Alokha, Bali Agada. Abli Ami Aris Ali Kansu. No Ama Aris, he needs some money. Okay, he's not coming. He's not coming taking from my storehouses any food. Ama Aris is not coming from my food. Wow. This is Rebbe. You know who Rebbe was? Rebbe Huda Anasi. The great Rebbe. Now, we have to know what's wrong with the Ama Aris. The guy wants to eat. He wants to eat. Dachak Rav Yonasan ben Amram. He's a man, Rav Yonasan ben Amram, a great, great, great man. He could be nichnas. Amalei Rebbe Parnasani. He says, Rebbe, give me food to eat. Amalei Benikri. He said, do you learn? Amalei Lav. I didn't learn. Shanisa Mishnayt. Amalei Lav. I didn't learn Mishnayt. Okay, Mama Afarnasecha. How could I give you? So he answers him, a dog needs to eat, a raven needs to eat. I'm not less than a dog and a raven. Would you not have Rachmanis on them? Parnasani. So he gave him Parnasa. Afterwards, when he left, Rebbe had tzar, he said, I gave bread to an Ama Aretz. He was very, very bothered by it. Rishonim speak about, why was he so bothered giving the bread to his Ama Aretz? What's the worst thing that the Ama Aretz is going to do? What's he going to do? Not on the bench? But Rebbe was very mad not to give his bread to Ama Aretz. So Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe tells them, maybe it was Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram who's just a big onos, and he doesn't want to say that I learned.
And it wasn't.
Because if you learn, if you're saying he learns, that means the reason why you're giving me food is because I learned. That means I'm getting food. I'm getting food because I learned.
But wouldn't he have recognized him?
For some reason, he didn't. So they checked and he found out. The Rebbe said everybody could come in. Everybody comes in. Why? Because maybe one of the people that are coming in are Tamar Chacham.
Why don't you just
for her then? And Rebbe goes according to his reasoning. Rebbe holds that any punishment that comes in the world is only because of Amei Aratzim. Amei Aratzim, they make all the punishments in the world. We have to know what Amei Aratz is. What does he mean? The Gemara brings down further a whole story about that. But Rebbe held Amei Aratzim, Amei Aratz. Aye, no good. We have to go a little bit more in deep, in depth, why Rebbe was very, very not pro them. Very not pro them. He's very nice people, but I'm not giving you deep. He helped that they caused a lot of damage. Okay. But what do we see over here? He didn't want to tell him that, yeah, I do know how to learn, because by him telling him that, he's going to get a freebie. Freebie because you're a Talmud Chacham? Not happening.
Did he lie by saying love?
Yeah, he sure did.
Said love?
I guess he felt he could lie. It's a good question. How could he lie for this? Midvar Shekhar Tirchuk. But he felt that what's worse than Midvar Shekhar Tirchuk is using Torah to be able to get what you want. That's the worst thing. Yeah, the Gemara brings down that in Bava Metzia that there's three things that Talmid Chacham change. They say if you ask them if they learned something, they didn't learn. But over here he's saying, did you learn anything? And he said a lot. So Ari is asking, this is like an utter lie thing. They didn't learn anything. Not even Chumash. And to say that, because to use Torah, mivazet Torah, you're taking Torah, mamash mivazet. You're like using Torah to be able to get food? You know what bizarre that is? You're not allowed to do that. Now this is a different, in a way it's a different thing. We first started off with a few sources that are teaching us that you can't teach Torah to make money. You can't teach Torah to make money because Torah has to be taught for free. That's the first idea. Torah has to be taught for free. Torah has to be taught for free. That's the way Torah is. This is a different level. This is not only have to, yeah, so he's saying, schar shimer. Schar watching the kids.
No, schar bitza, like you're learning and you have to give a shear, you take away from your learning growth.
Okay, fine. I hear you. You're saying that I'm losing out other things. Okay. But, so you're saying it's like the same way the Rebbe is guarding the kids, so he's not making money for the learning. He's making money for guarding the kids. You're saying another type of
taking away from his growth and his own learning. Like,
you're saying the Gemara didn't say that. But the point is, you're saying as long as it's not for the learning, it's for something else. Maybe you're trying to squeeze that ahead. This next thing is, I'm not taking money for learning. I'm taking money because I'm learning. Taking money because I'm learning. It's another element. One is making money for the learning that you're doing. I'm charging you a fee. One is making money side benefits because I'm learning. That's also, according to this, Usher Gummer.
What about the Chastele, that whole world?
Usher Gummer, Mamish.
Usher Rebbein.
Terrible thing in the world. How could it be? Terrible. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. I can't wait to do it. I'm so happy. You know, I brought it to my school. I brought it. You should know. I'll tell you something. If you want to know something, this should be off the record.
The rabbi. That's me.
Anyway, so the Rambam says in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, the Rambam says, the Rambam has the strongest of Lashonos. A person should push himself and roll in pain. Don't come on to people. Don't make yourself needy on the tzibur. Don't make yourself that everybody has to support you. This is on source number 7. That the Rambam is saying? Wait till the Rambam talks about shul rabbis. Well, one second, don't worry. I didn't get up to him. He's gonna give one moment. And he said that Chacham say, "Asei Shabbat v'chol v'atetzarch v'abrius." You're gonna go ahead and ask money for Shabbos. Don't come on to other people. Make your Shabbos weekday. Have a weekday meal. Let's even mechuber the guy, the ani, and he became poor. So we're talking about a guy with a chacham. Push him a guy. Then he becomes poor. What should he do? Yasik b'umnes, go to work. Va'afilo b'umnes menubeles. Even as a comic Irishman. Va'al yisach habiyus, don't come out to people. Play Dr. Rambam. Mutav livshayt or behemoth is better to skin the skin of animals. To take off the skin of animals. Don't go over to say people and say, listen, I'm a chashver shashiva, give me money. Rather go work in the tannery shop, says the Rambam, than to come on to people. Wow. And then he says, this is what the chacham meant when they said, G'dayle chacham, the greatest chachamim, hayumem, choytve etzim, they were wood choppers. When they see a kairis, they would carry beans. Vishay v'imam, they were water carriers, the ginais. Vishay abarz of apachamim, and they made metal. They were blacksmiths. Vishay shalom and a tzibur, vishay tibumem, kishinazulam. They wouldn't take from the tzibur anything. They wouldn't take from the tzibur. Now, this din that the Rambam is saying seemingly is not a din as what we were saying before. We were saying before is a din that you can't use Torah to make yourself chashuv. You can't teach Torah and make money. This is a different din. This is, don't come on to other people. I don't care who you are. That's a new din. This is not a din that's not a din of your Talmud Chacham, so I'm using Torah. Nothing to do with using Torah. Don't come on to other people. Don't come on. I don't care. And you're a chashuv guy. That doesn't give you a right to come on to other people. Rather be working in a cheap, embarrassing job, but don't come on to other people. New din. It's anybody, but even a Talmud Chacham. So what? You're a Talmud Chacham. Hey, embarrassed to go ahead and go work? Go work. You want to go work? You're working behind the shopping center, shopping cart? So it's on Talmud Chacham. He's working behind the island kosher? Tough nuggies. That's what you do. You don't come on to other people. This is what the Rambam says. Source number 8, it gets worse. Says the Rambam. Call a Mason Alibay. This is Rambam in Parag Gimel from Hilchos Talmud Torah. Somebody puts on his heart, Sheyasek b'Torah v'leyasek melacha. He's going to learn Torah. He's not going to do work. The Aspirinus Menat Tzedakah. I'm going to learn Torah. I'm not going to do work. Hari dechilo lef Hashem. He's mechalo Hashem. Chil Hashem. Ubizeth HaTorah. He's embarrassing the Torah. V'chiba ma'or adas, he extinguishes the light of knowledge. V'garmro la'atmoy, and he's causing bad for himself. V'nato chay ben ayom haba, he takes his life away from ayom haba. V'fisha osho lehanas v'divrei Torah b'ayom haza, it's prohibited to have enough from the return of this world. And he brings down the Mishnah Navas that we said before. And the Mishnah Navas says, Amru chacham kohanenem v'divrei Torah nato chay ben ayom. You have enough from the Torah, it takes your life from the world. And then he brings the next Mishnah, we said, don't make it a crown to grow in them, and don't make it as your shovel to dig. And he brings the Mishnah of his, another Mishnah, love Malacha, hate being a Rav. Says the person who does this is going to end up stealing from people. He ends off the Rambam, the Rambam is passing in two places, that it's mamish usher to take money and get tzedakah from that. Now this, the Rambam, is not talking about teaching Torah. He's talking about the other thing that we're saying, coming on to other people, because I'm going to learn and I'm going to have people support me like a kail. Asur gamar according to the Rambam. What do we do today with this? Like, what is going on? We just like built up that teaching Torah asur, getting money for learning asur, chati lev asur, coming on to Kailim Asr Gummer, or Ramam holds this loop. You don't have a Chedek Olam Haba, or you're taking your life from Olam Haba, whatever level that is. So we'll have to be able to see the other side of the story. We're going to have the Kesef Mishnah, who's the Beis Yosef, right? He's Rabbi Yosef Karo. He wrote a Pirush on the Rambam. I didn't say over the whole Rambam and Pirush on Mishnah. This is the Rambam in Sefer Yad. In page 7 over here, I brought down the Rambam in 6 and 7 is a long Rambam where she literally goes through Shas and he shows that it's the worst thing to take any money from anybody. But there's the Shulchan Aruch, there's the Ramon, there's the Shas, there's the Taz, and of course, there's the Ramosha Feinstein. And we're going to see the other way. How could we get away from all of these sources, which are so clear, that it's usher to take money for any of these things? Clear, mamish. Usher to take money. We'll have to wait till next week. Shkoyach Rabbeis for coming.
Exactly.